When I think about the teaching of God's Word, I'm so glad to be thoughtful in the teaching of God's Word. Somebody about years ago taught me to think ahead in regard to lessons that you would preach and always base your lessons upon the needs of people, and you'll never run out of any information. You'll never run out of something fresh. And I guess if brethren have said anything through the years of where I've preached at for years of time, that they've always said your lessons were fresh, they were applicable to the things that I needed and the circumstances I faced, and so I'm glad that that is the case. I attribute it to that one thing, and the fact of the matter is that that one thing was the concept of having thought ahead and made plans in regard to it. My thoughts today in regard to this topic is a topic of need for all of us at all times in our lives. Jesus prayed for his disciples in this matter in John 17. And at verse 17, he said, "Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, I know that the first application of that in the first context in John 17 is to the disciples themselves that he taught. The 12 that he so sent out in the world to teach this gospel message to everybody around. As a result of that, teach them to observe this way of truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Set them apart by way of thy word. When you and I are set apart by the word of the Lord, instead of saying to somebody who says, "What do you believe about this?" our reply is, "What does the Bible teach about this? What does the scripture actually teach us about this? What is the teaching of the word of God about this subject?" As a result of having that information in front of us, we know what to say the rest of the time. We know what to do. We know where to go in the scripture. And somebody says, "Well, that old Bible, that's just not true." But if we look at it, we cannot find the errors that they so believe are there. We see truth at every hand. We see the facts of the matter at every hand. We see guidance of a real good and stable and sober way of teaching in the scripture. As a result of that, we can be set apart by the word of God, by the word truth that is there, so that we understand it and we can apply it to the lives of others round about us. If you and I have the word of God guiding our lives, we'll not be people who are teaching errors. We'll not be teaching that matter of falsehoods. We'll not be teaching things that are wrong. We'll be undeniably challenged by the idea of finding what is true, what is accurate, what's God's teaching about this matter. And when we talk about God's teaching about our lives today, I have this subject in mind. What about the faithfulness to that word? Are we faithful to the word of the Lord? Are we faithful to the prayers that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? You know, in Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus gave this illustration of what to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do we find ourselves thinking about this hallowed God? That he is set above and beyond all that others think. That he is special to our lives and special to our hearts. And as a result, special to our children and our children's children after us. Teaching them that God is to be highly respected. He's to be hallowed. He is to be bowed before. As a result of this, we find a generation of people growing to another generation of people growing to another generation of people who are guided by the word of the Lord. As a result of that, they hallow the God of heaven. They really do bow before him. They really do praise him. He's worthy of the grandest of praise by all of us. Why is that the case? Well, the why of that the case is answered by the fact that we find ourselves in God's presence always. We are awakened this morning not because we woke up, not because we chose to wake up, not because of the rest that we all got the night before, but because in the system of the plan, God wanted rest to be a part of our lives and we could awaken to the new day. As we wake up, do we thank God for the newness of this day? Do we thank God that we're still living in this world in which we live? Do we thank God for the privileges that we have today? Find ourselves hallowing him, bowing before him as we pray to him at the beginning of the day. But then what else did the prayer of Jesus to his disciples tell them? Did he not tell them to pray in regard to our daily bread? Did God offer us the things to eat? God offered us the things that we consume, the things for strength? Or is it the case that as we work and labor, we find ourselves blessed with the income that comes from that, blessed from the friends that come to share with us from time to time, and blessed with opportunities to grow in the use of that food? That food within our system strengthening our bodies. Who made it possible for that to strengthen our body? Well, the Lord of heaven made it possible for it to strengthen our bodies. We find no other real answer for it. We find an answer from God himself to guide us and to guide us, direct us toward a right way of living as we live on this earth. What about at the end of our day? What about the times that we've consumed during that day, the activities with which we've been involved? There in that prayer, it tells us to remind ourselves of the presence of God and of His kingdom that we'll live in forever. The hope is that you and I will, at the end of the day, thank God for the privileges of living for Him from hour to hour in that day. As a result of that, we'll look back to God during that day and think there are things that I have messed up. There are things that I have not done. There are things that I have not been privileged to say and do for the Lord. I will make changes in that. I will make changes in that day, and I pray that until that time, the Lord of heaven will forgive me of my trespasses and find myself enjoying this relationship with God. Thus, the Word of God teaches about the majesty of God in His right way. And we find this God of heaven that is a result of our study of His Word and will. And as a result, we find ourselves growing in that way and in that path. When these good men that were part of Brother John Pigg's lesson last week in 2 Kings in 5, in reference to them being lepers, and as they were looking for an opportunity to live, they made the idea known that we but die in this place, we'll continue to live here until we but die. We're obligated to go forth and to teach others round about us. And as we're obligated to go forth and teach others round about us, we find a really discovery of a blessing. We find the God of heaven living with us, His providence being a part of our daily walk of life. And as we result in that looking up and thanking God for the providence of our ability to think, our ability to do, our ability to travel, our ability to do things of God, it's a good thing to do. It's a thing to thank God for, because we find ourselves in life looking at either thanking ourselves for the things that go on or thanking someone who is higher going on. Do we contribute to ourselves thinking that I am the reason for my fate, I am the reason for my living, I'm the reason for my hope? Or do we find ourselves hoping in the Lord and having a peaceful spirit by way of living that life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? When Jesus told us to pray in this way, He told us to pray to a hallowed Heavenly Father. Let us be people who do that kind of a prayer in our lives, and thinking of God and His righteous way, think highly of Him instead of thinking I made Him instead of He made me. He helped us, not the other way around. We find ourselves in need of God, and as a result, thanking Him for His great blessings. In being faithful to God, I'll also find my way of being faithful to Him in the way that I practice life. In Romans chapter 1, when Paul wrote to the brethren at Rome and said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to themselves to the righteousness of God." What's he telling the people there in Romans in reference to this matter? In chapter 10, in reference to, "I have this desire and heart's desire for Israel, they might be saved. I want others to be saved. I want others to have this hope of eternal life. I want others to bow before faithfully this Heavenly Father. As a result of that, I'll look to the things of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel that they might be saved. I can bear them record. They may be very, very religious, very involved with righteous things, very involved with things that are godly. things that are true, but not according to God's teaching. It's true to man's creeds and man's religions. And you know, there are more and more brethren that are finding themselves leaving the faith these days. Leaving the faith to enjoy a fellowship with a type of religious system that is involved with entertainment and involved with society and constantly in social movements. But the church of the Lord revealed in the New Testament of our Bible was not revealed when making Israel a better Israel and Rome a better Rome. It was set upon making individuals better servants of God. Through the Heavenly Father, their service of His Son would cause them to be people who would tell the truth, do business according to the truth, do their work at home according to the truth, be in the neighborhood according to the ways of truth. As a result of that, way would be better people. And people would enjoy them better. And they would have a greater influence in the religious system of I'm this way, not because I chose to be this way, because I made it up for myself, but because God's teaching gave me this message. God's teaching gave me this way to live. God's teaching honored me in this way. And as a result of doing God's will in the matter, I find myself faithful to Him and therefore better as I live in the family, live in the community, live in every relationship that I have in life. I'll be a better worker in my factory. I'll be a better servant in my community. I'll be a person who is better in every way of life in the family. I'll be better in every neighborhood in which I live. You know, there's an old story in regard to a fellow who came to town. And he said to a good gentleman at the merchant's place, "Where'd you come from?" And he said, "Well, I came from such a place." He said, "What kind of people were over there?" And the man replied to him, "Well, there were people over there who just, they were not good people. They were people who would promise you and they would never carry it out. There were people who were not honorable at all. There were people who didn't have to help their families at all. They were people who didn't do right and didn't do good." He said, "What kind of town is this in which I'm now chosen to live?" And the merchant behind the desk said, "I think you'll find all of that here as well." What were you looking for in the town that you used to live in? Well, were you looking to make corrections? Was he saying things like, "I tried to make corrections, I tried to make amends in this, I tried to improve this, I tried to cause it to be better"? No, he was just suggesting how he had met people and how he'd seen people and how he judged them. And very likely, now in this new place, that would be the same way that he would judge the new people that he lived among. I think there's much truth to that old adage. I think there's much a way of life to that. When you and I go about a business of saying there are certain problems and certain needs, and let's address those needs. Let's kindly and efficiently address those needs by teaching God's word and God's will about the matter. Then we can find ourselves growing in a righteous way. If we find ourselves, however, guiding our lives in such a way that we think that the rules that we have made and the mannerisms of our life and the kinds of threats that we have urged to others make them better, then we'll think very much that our new place of residence will be changed that same way. By the way that we do our way of life, it'll cause them to change. The Scripture tells us that the Scripture and the God of heaven causes people to change. What did Jesus say to His disciples there in John 17:17? "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Do I look at the Word of God when I'm studying subjects that of which I want to grow? I want to be the kind of person I ought to be? Am I studying the Word of God to see what He says in the words that I choose? The attitudes that I have toward others? The way that I love God of heaven, and the way that I love my fellow man? Am I following God's will in that way? If not, I'm not being faithful to His word. faithful to His teaching, faithful to His guide. Think in regard to this particular matter, in regard to the teaching of the book of Revelation. Revelation, our closing book of the New Testament of the Bible. Is it a book written about the close of the first century of time and the book of the Roman Empire coming to close and the advancement of the church and the Lord's return and so forth? Is it a book that deals with principles that are going to happen when that end comes? There are various teachers and various thoughts about that that can be presented. For you and me to look at the particular matter and see the closing refrains of the book of Revelation, chapter 22. He says, to those that take this word and add unto it, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. He says, to those that take this word of God and take from it, God shall take his part out of the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Do we find ourselves wanting to add to God's word? Do we find ourselves wanting to take from God's word? When we find ourselves visiting with religious groups and we find ourselves seeing and hearing what they do, what they teach, can we find the sinner's prayer that they often teach people to believe for salvation? Can we find their authority for the instrumental music that is often used to entertain them, as well as have them to sing religious hymns by? When the message is proclaimed, a message of the reverend or the hope of the reverend, is that word used in reference to the preachers in God's word in the Bible? To the contrary, each one of these things I'm talking about today are things that are additions or taking from the Scripture. It is an addition to the Scripture to have people to say a word of prayer for salvation. The greatest example of a man praying and hoping that his salvation would come was Paul himself in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22. Was he not a man praying when the gospel preacher Ananias came to him and said, "Arise, Brother Saul, go be baptized and wash away your sins"? Wouldn't it have been a wonderful time for him to tell him, "Now, Paul, you've been praying about yourself and your situation here. Won't you pray about accepting the Lord? Won't you pray about taking Him for your Savior? Won't you pray about having Him to save you from your sins?" But that's not what the gospel preacher Ananias said to him at all. He didn't say to him, "This is what you ought to pray." He said, "You need to arise, go be baptized, and wash away your sins." In being baptized into Christ in Romans 6, we're told that that enters us into the blood of Christ, by which we're cleansed and made new, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. So that newness of life begins to occur when we obey the Lord. Not a way of a sinner's prayer. That's not found in our Scripture. In regard to our singing, it is noted to us in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where? In your heart to the Lord. What am I supposed to add to my words of song and words of praise, words of warning in my songs? I'm supposed to add my heart to it, my spiritual entity to it. My way of life is sincere and committed to the Lord. And as a result of that, I can be faithful to the Word of God by not adding to nor taking from His Word. Let's be people who sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. And that's what we do. You know, when we find ourselves being people who are not honoring God's way and God's will at all, it's a sad thing. For we'll find ourselves someday at the judgment day judged by that word that He gave us and we'll find ourselves denied because we did not follow that word. Yes, faithfulness in the word of God being served and followed in our daily walk of life is what God asks us to be and do. It's what Jesus prayed for his disciples in regard to their ways of life, to be honored by sanctification of the truth. Thy word is truth. And the sovereign disciples taught others that that word of God was to be to guide them and direct them. As the Jewish people found themselves following that way of life that was always their way of life. In Romans 10 he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What was their teaching? Their teaching was not about God's way. It was about their own way. And they were encouraged to not follow that way any longer. When you and I follow the will of God in our lives, we'll do as the book of Revelation tells us. We'll not add to nor take from, but do exactly as it teaches us and directs us. As a result of that, we find ourselves overjoyed to be righteous before his presence at the judgment day. Thank you for listening and studying with us today. As this particular matter is a part of our internet studies as well, we hope that those who listen by way of the internet will find themselves once again renewed in the encouragement to go back to God's word and follow his word and his will as they follow the religious walks of life. In so doing, we'll teach our friends and neighbors that that's the way to do, because it's God's will that he's taught us. Appreciate your time today, and thank you again for your thoughts and prayers about my time of illness in this matter. And the fact that I told Miss Jane last night, I felt as good last night as I did feel bad during the week. And that was better. And I'm so grateful for it. I don't know that it won't come back. I don't know exactly what it is. The diagnosis hadn't yet been exactly given to me. But we're working on two or three different things that causes great pain to be through the body. But I do know this. We don't direct our lives based upon how we feel in life. We're to base our lives on the faithfulness to God's word. Let's follow his will. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, you need to be baptized into Christ. We hope that you'll do that. All things are ready for you this morning. We hope that you'll come and be immersed into Christ to begin that new way of life. If you have done that in days gone by and not lived faithful to the ways of the Lord, then it'd be a good thing today in repentance and prayer to come back to the way of the Lord. As is listed in Acts chapter 8, it's Simon's teaching. He was told that you can have the thought and intent of your heart forgiven you. As a brother in Christ, he had the right not to go back and be rebaptized again and again for his sins to be made new, but to be restored in the ways of the Lord by repentance and prayer. That's the way in which God's word teaches us to guide our lives. And may it be a blessing for you today to respond to the gospel as we sing together this song of encouragement. As we stand together, let us sing.
Free gifts for you and me. Let us take.